The message tonight is the great physician and other physicians. I wanted to tell you about one, but it turns out that I have to tell you about four, and then at least mention the other physicians that are spoken of in the Old Testament. And it all started when I was going to give you a parable. So let me ask you a question. Who can tell me how many parables, to your knowledge, are in the four Gospels? Well, no worry, because a man like Trench puts in 30-some. Then I looked at one reference that I had that was 51, and so I decided to go through the Gospels and get them all myself. And so a complete list, you have to go to a man like Lockyer, but he has so much that you could never follow it. If there's anything that is a hint of a parable, he says it is. But I have not a complete list, but I have a full list. And there are 72 occasions when our Lord speaks a parable. Now, of these 72 times that he uses a parable, 59 are distinct parables. Which means this, that if there are 72, but there are only 59 distinct parables, it means that our Savior spoke the same parable sometimes twice, sometimes three times, which is a consolation for those that repeat the same sermon, you see. In case you're embarrassed, you say, I must give them something new. The Lord Jesus used the same parable once and again and again. But what is so remarkable is that I can give you at least 59 distinct parables that our Savior spoke. Well, if I were to ask you, what is the shortest parable our Lord spoke, what would your answer be? And if I ask you, what is the longest parable our Lord spoke, what would your answer be? The shortest one that I found consists of three words. Now, I wouldn't have accepted that except our Lord said it. And perhaps the longest is in Luke 15. It is one parable found in three parts. I discovered this also, that our Savior at times will speak a parable in its completeness in one gospel, and then he will take one part of the complete parable and speak it in another. The example is the lost sheep. He uses it by itself in Matthew chapter 18, but he uses it in conjunction with two other lost things in Luke 15. In Luke 15, you have the lost sheep, you have the lost coin, and you have the lost son. So what he did was this. At first, he said, I'm going to tell them about a parable of a lost sheep. And then he said, I'm going to expand that and tell them about a lost sheep and a lost coin and a lost son. Or it may be that he had the complete parable. And then he said, I do not want to tell them all the things contained in the full parable, but I'm going to tell them one thing that's in the parable. So we're going to read tonight in Luke chapter 4. And verse 22. And all bear him witness and wondered at the words of grace which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, doubtless you will say unto me, this parable. It is the word parable, parabole. He will speak unto me, say unto me, this parable. Physician, heal thyself. How many words are there? And what he says afterwards is simply an extension, an explanation of what he said. And so our Savior gives us a parable that consists of three words. Now, if I asked you for help, and I said to you, certainly, you can give me the interpretation of a parable that consists of only three words, I venture to say there's not one in this room, including myself, that could tell you exactly what that parable means with certainty. Isn't that embarrassing? If I ask you, you may give a suggestion, but then you look at it again, and it may turn out this way. That's why you have to be careful when you're explaining a parable. It says in Proverbs chapter 26, it says, the legs of the lame hang loose. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. So who wants to explain this parable? But the thing is this, I was going to tell you simply about this parable. But I've told young men that want help in studying the Word of God that when you study a subject, you have to gather all the material. So it would have been much easier had I just read those three words. Not much study you would have to put in it. But then I discovered that there was not only the great physician, but there are other physicians as well. And the four references in the New Testament, you'll find them in Luke 4, in Luke 5, in Luke 8, and in Colossians 4. All of them have to do with physicians, and the physicians mentioned in these various chapters are all different, and they're all distinct. Now, we call the Lord Jesus the great physician. What authority do I have to call him the great physician? Is he anywhere called in the New Testament by those words, the great physician? No, but he is the great physician for this way, for this reason. Just before he was born, the angel Gabriel came and told Mary, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bear a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. Now, what is so interesting is that he shall be great is not he shall become great, but it says he shall be great. The greatness was when he was born. Like this. When the wise men sought our Savior, they said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? When did he become King of the Jews? He said, when he was born. Well, of course, he did not become King of the Jews at a later time, but he was born King of the Jews, and our Savior, when he was born, can be designated as great for this reason. Our Savior, in the Sermon on the Mount, speaks of great things. He speaks about the city of Jerusalem, which is the city of what? The great King. In Titus 2, 12 and 13, it says, we are to look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing, and this is what it literally says, of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the way that the Scripture gives us his name, Jesus, and then it shows us just what he did throughout his ministry, and then you can put the descriptive word great to every aspect of the work that he did for God. He shall be great. Why? His greatness is immeasurable. And you will find in the coming day how great he is. But let's think now for a moment of the other physicians, because in chapter 5 it speaks these words. The Lord Jesus said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they who are sick. You say, well, here is another physician. That is why I said the message is the great physician and other physicians. And the Savior said, the ones that are whole, that aren't sick, they have no need of a physician, but the ones who are sick. So there is the great physician and there are other physicians. And then in Luke chapter 8, we read about this poor woman who had an issue of blood. And it says that she had spent all her living on physicians and grew not better, but worse. So here are incompetent physicians. And it says in Colossians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is describing one that is dear to him, and he speaks of Luke, the beloved physician. So here are four physicians. Isn't this remarkable? I could have just told you and done as you get a parable spoken in its brevity, and then it's expanded and explained. I could have told you about this, but I want to tell you the picture in its entirety, and then you may go into more details at a later date. And you'll find in the Old Testament physicians as well. In Genesis 50, you find that there were physicians that took care of Joseph's father after he died. And then you will find in Job 13, physicians, and that is the way that Job described his friends. You find in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 about the activity of Asa when he was diseased in his feet. It said, he sought unto the physicians and not unto the Lord. And then in Jeremiah chapter 8, the question is asked, is there no physician in Gilead? The first question, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician in Gilead? So, why, I could give a series of 8 messages. But what I'll do is tell you a little bit about all of them, rather than a lot about one of them. So, let's think of this, and why it's so difficult, even though it consists of only 3 words. Our Lord not only made up his own parables, conceived of them, and preached them, but he used the parables of others. Whose parable is this in Luke chapter 4? Is it Christ? He said, doubtless you will say unto me this parable. It's not his parable at all. It was a parable that was familiar to those that knew literature and life, and they had this parable. And the parable was this: physician, heal thyself. So here is a parable that our Savior used that was not his own, but someone else's. And that's quite in order. If someone gives a good parable, there's nothing wrong about using that parable. Why, it's a very complimentary thing if somebody steals your sermon and preaches it. The thing that is an insult is if they never use it or refer to it again. And so here is a good parable. And so our Savior uses it. Physician, heal thyself. So let's think for a moment just what he means by that. Having used their parable, immediately he uses a parable of his own. But I didn't include this in my list. He said unto them, he said, no prophet is accepted in his own country. And he uses it elsewhere. A prophet is not without honor save in his own country. That is in Matthew 13. And also something similar in John chapter 4. So what happens is that our Savior makes up his own parables, but then he will use parables spoken by others, and then he will give parables also that were upon the lips of others before he used them as his own. He's not the first one that ever said, why, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country. It says that Christ himself testified that this was true. And so there are some parables that people speak, and the Lord Jesus would dissociate himself from those parables, because there are many parables in the mouths of fools, and that is why if I ask you, what did Christ mean when he thought of what was going on in the mind of these people, because he's now back in his hometown, and he knew what was going on in their mind. So often this happens. He knew their thoughts. And so as he spoke, he knew what they were thinking about him. And he said, doubtless, without doubt, you will speak this parable unto me. Physician, heal thyself. It couldn't be much shorter. You could have one word, hallelujah, which means praise the Lord. But for a parable, it has a subject, and it has a verb, and it has an object. Physician, that's the noun. Heal, that's the verb. Thyself, that's the object. And that is a pronoun. Now, there's something similar in a prayer, and because there are long prayers in the Bible, and there are short prayers in the Bible, but the most effective prayer, and the one that you would be able to pray if you were in the same condition that the Apostle Peter was, when the Lord Jesus told him, he said, you come to me. Peter said, if it's you, bid me to come to you walking upon the water. And the Lord Jesus said, come. And he started to walk upon the water, but when he saw what was happening around him, his faith failed, and he began to sink. And his prayer was this, Lord, save me. Now, that's a beautiful prayer. It had to be that, Lord, yes, save me. And so that's all the prayer that you need. You address our Savior, the one who can save you, and you tell him what you want done, save, and whom do you want saved? Me. Because in the Bible, like that Syrophoenician woman, she said, Lord, my daughter. And the centurion had his servant. But in this case, with three words, Lord, save me. And I assure you that the Lord did not say to him, can't you make that in a more flowery way and express yourself or more intensely? Not at all. You simply say, Lord, save me. And so all of you, if you're sick, if your children are sick, if there is a great need, you'll simply do like that Syrophoenician woman did. He rejected her apparently and was going to do nothing for her. But finally she said this, Lord, help me. They are beautiful prayers. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. And here, physician, heal thyself. Now I told you that it is not as easy to interpret as you think for this reason. He said, having said, physician, heal thyself, he said, now this, the things which we have heard that you did in Capernaum, do in your own country. And so that helps us interpret a little bit. What does it mean? It may mean that here is one from their own hometown, but instead of charity beginning at home, the Lord Jesus was healing and making humanity relieved of its suffering, and he was doing it elsewhere. And so they knew about that, and so when he came to them, doubtless they would say, physician, heal thyself. That is, here you are, now heal those with whom you're associated. Or it could mean this. It could mean that the Lord Jesus, who was without reputation, he was to establish that reputation. And whereas there were some in physical need, the Lord Jesus had a need to be uplifted, to be looked upon with respect and honor and praise. And so, physician, heal yourself. And then you think on it again, physician, heal thyself, and consider these things, and you'll find that probably it's not as simple as you think it is. But it may mean this, and this is what is so embarrassing. The things that we heard that you did in Capernaum, do them here. We didn't see them. We've heard that you have a reputation. Now, you perform these miracles here so that we can see and believe that you're able to perform miracles. And so that's why it's not so simple to interpret. And so the Lord Jesus then added, a prophet is not accepted in his own country. And to show and illustrate that he was not accepted in his own country, he spoke to them a little bit from the Old Testament. He only spoke the truth. And this is what he said. And he's quoting to them from their own Old Testament. He said, now, there were many lepers in Israel in the days of Naaman, but he was the only one in the days of Elijah. In his days, the only one that was healed was Naaman, the leper. And he was a foreigner. And he said there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah. But unto none was he sent, save the widow of Zarephath. And when they heard that, he spoke of the blessing of God, not to Israel, but to the heathen. And they hated him so much that they were ready to throw him over the brow of the hill and put him to death. And so do you see now, how do you interpret this parable? Physician, heal thyself. But here is our Savior. And whether they like it or not, he is the great physician for this reason. If you look through the scriptures, you'll find that there was never anyone who was brought to him that had a disease so serious that he was not able to heal. And only once did he not heal that individual immediately. In one instance, he healed a blind man in two stages, but that was for an additional lesson. It wasn't lack of power. It was the desire to instruct more, because I wonder how many of us, the moment Christ opened our blind eyes, we saw everything clearly. I think that most of us have to grow. We have to learn more. And so there is another operation. All the potential is there. But the Lord Jesus healed everyone that was ever brought to him, except those that asked for a sign and that asked for a miracle, not under the right circumstances, and he would do nothing for them. Now, here is something that is of great significance, that this physician is the great physician, but when they say to him, physician, heal thyself, and if they are saying, we want you to do here what you did elsewhere, what kind of man would be so heartless who had the power to heal everyone in the town where he was brought up, but do absolutely nothing for them? But this was the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no physician equal in greatness, in power, in ability, but there was no physician that behaved the way he did during the days of his flesh. He went to Solomon's pool on one occasion, and it was filled with sick people. And he passed all those sick people by, and he went up to that impotent man. And he said to him, would you be made whole? And he said, Lord, I have no man that when the water is troubled, he would cast me in, but another steps in ahead of me. And the Lord Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. Now he healed that man. What would a physician that had the power to heal today do to all the rest of them that were at that pool? If he had any heart, if he had any love, what would he do? The Lord Jesus left them all in the condition they were in. Let me ask you this. If your loved one was at the point of death and you sent for a physician, what would you think of a physician that would wait 4 days before he came? That's what the Lord Jesus did when Mary and Martha said, he whom thou lovest is sick. And the Lord Jesus waited 4 days until he died. And then he went to see him. Now how many of you can figure out this physician? Of course you can. It's a great consolation to me. The Lord could have healed everyone at that pool, but he healed one and left the other sick. Now, why among the children of God are some of us sick and God heals us, and the others are sick and he does nothing for us, because he doesn't love us, is that right? You say, no, he whom thou lovest is sick. Just accept this by faith. The Savior said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. And so, all his activity on earth was for the glory of the Father, and for the glory of his Son. And concerning that blind man, his disciples said, why was this man born blind? Was it his fault or was it his parents' fault? And the Lord Jesus said, neither did this man sin nor his parents, but that the works of God might be wrought in him. You mean that someone would be born blind and remain that way their whole life long until God decided to send his Son and open his blind eyes? And the Lord said, yes. This blindness is for the glory of God, to show the works of God. And that's the matter. End it, and he tells you no more. The only thing I need to know is this. Is he able to heal me? Yes. Does he love you? Yes. Is he infinite in wisdom? Yes. Then why was this man healed and I left sick? He does not tell us. The only place you'll find out is the place that Asaph found out in Psalm 73. He was thinking over life and all his troubles. He said, it was too grievous for me until I went into the sanctuary of God and considered their latter end. And then the answer came to him. And that's why if someone asks me why, I never attempt to tell them why. Because the only one who can tell them to their own satisfaction is God, and he only tells you when you go into the sanctuary of God. And then he will tell you. So think of this physician and think how unlike he is to all other physicians, because not one of them would do the way he did when people were sick. No other physician you know was able to heal any case that was brought to him. So many times they will send you to a specialist. It was never this way with the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Savior is different from all other physicians for this reason. If I had some disease, some sickness, then there would be medicine given. There would be injections given. And we would hope that this medicine would attack the disease and overcome it, and I would get well. What medicine did Jesus ever give anybody when he healed them? I tell you what he did, and all of you who are ophthalmologists, try this sometimes. If a man is blind, spit on the ground and make some clay and stick it on his eyes and tell him to go and wash. Now, that's alternative medicine, is it not? And so do you think the Lord Jesus needed to make that clay to open his eyes? Of course not. When the leper that needed healing, the Lord Jesus and the leper said to him, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. And the Lord Jesus laid his hand upon him and said, I will be thou made whole. Did he have to lay his hand upon him to heal him? Because there were 10 lepers in Luke 17, and they said, Lord, have mercy upon us. And he said to them at a great distance, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were healed. So what did the Lord Jesus have to do to heal people? He willed it. That is all. He willed it. Now, at times, the power was in him, because this woman with an issue of blood came and touched the hem of his garment. And the Savior said, I perceive that power has gone out of me. And so the power was in him. It was there if somebody touched him, or if he touched them, or, as in the case of the nobleman's son, he said, go home, your son is healed. And so the healing and the ability of this physician was directly from God, and it was miraculous, and no medicine was ever used, and no medicine was ever needy, and all the other physicians in the Bible cannot do what our Savior did this day. Because, if you ask me, does the Lord still perform miracles? I say, perhaps. The way that he did in the New Testament, I've never seen one that way. For this reason, when the Savior sent his disciples out to heal, he said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. How many of you have ever heard of a doctor going to a leper colony and just touching them and healing them? How many of you have ever had a doctor to go to a funeral parlor and lay his hand upon the dead man and raise him? You say, no one does. Well, of course not. But the Apostle Paul fell upon Eutychus and raised him from the dead. And the Apostle Peter raised Dorcas. And so do you see, the way that they healed at that time, it was the power of God that was in them. And by the way, a physician is simply a healer. It's the word e'a'amai. And then there is the word you've heard of a therapist, the word therapeuo. It says physician, and that is from e'a'amai. Physician, heal thyself, a therapist. And so the Lord Jesus healed in a way that no other doctor ever could heal. But for all of you who say, well, I do not believe in going to physicians, I believe in only going to the Lord. Well, then you haven't followed the advice of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus said, those who are whole have no need of a physician, but they who are sick. What did the Savior say for you to do if you were sick? He said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. So what did the Savior tell you to do if you're sick? Go to a physician. Which brings up the point, and I'll simply tell you about it, that there are other physicians, and some of them are good, and some of them are bad, and then there are incompetent physicians, and they know it, but they care nothing about it. They prey upon the public. And then there are beloved physicians. I wonder if there has ever been any dentist who is called a beloved dentist when you go to get a root canal or something of that nature. And yet, Luke was a beloved physician, but I promise you this, that when the Apostle Paul healed, he healed in an entirely different way that Luke, the beloved physician, did. Because Luke, with the medicines that God would show him, with the training, with what he could do with his hands, with the instructions as to diet and as to exercise, that's the way that Luke would heal. Because if he had a miraculous gift, then he was not just a physician, he had the gift of healing. And this word, physician, the gift of healing, is the same root word in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so Luke was one who was simply a physician. And so God can heal you miraculously, but inasmuch as I have not seen him doing it today the way our Savior did and the apostles did, I think I'm going to take my Savior's advice when he says, they that are sick need a physician, so go find one. And may this physician be a beloved physician. And now, Brother Collins is going to show me what time it is.
8 o'clock.
All right. Let's pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that you have taught us concerning thy Son. You sent him from heaven, and you've told us what he was sent here to do. Our God, we are thankful that he did all things well. We remember that that's what men said of him. We remember that those in his own hometown said, physician, heal thyself. But we remember that when he opened the eyes of the blind and loosened the tongue of the dumb and opened the ears of the deaf, they said, why, he opens the ears of the deaf and he loosens the tongue of the dumb. He has done all things well. And so we are thankful that though a prophet is not an honor in his own country, he is elsewhere. And we are thankful, Father, that your Son is an honor in our hearts. We thank you for this great position. Our God, we would go to him, but at the same time,
if there is a Luke, a beloved one, who can use the natural means that you've given wisdom for man to use, we would go to him and pray to you, and our God, work these things together for good. So for all who are sick here, our God, and do not understand why, let them go into the sanctuary of God, and then show them, Father, as only you can show them, and give them that peace of God that passeth all understanding. And for the rest of us, as Paul wondered if he would be released, he said, to die, to depart and be with Christ is far better, yet to remain and serve you, he said, this is necessary. And so I believe that God is going to lead me here to serve you. So our God, we who are to love you with all our heart and mind and soul and strength, we pray that you would give us strength, and then let us love you, holy, our God. Bless each one here in their body and in their soul, we pray, in the name of Jesus.